Hey man, well, it's great to see everyone. Welcome back to Midweek. Hannah and I are super excited to be doing our part two of practicing the way of Jesus tonight. Hannah is going to be kind of popping in and out from here, but it's going to be awesome. We really hope that the series so far has been encouraging and inspiring, as well as meeting with your D groups, which we started last week. And again, this series is just all about reminding us that following Jesus is all about practice, practicing Jesus's teachings and living them out. And so we've been talking about how we need to really order, or for some of us, maybe reorder our lives around these three things right here, which is to be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do what Jesus did, right? That's what we're focusing on. And so tonight we're going to be talking about becoming like Jesus, right? This is kind of our part two to the series. Let me go ahead and just do that real quick. Okay, cool. So yeah, last week we talked about being with Jesus and the importance of being people who are led by the Spirit and people that are spending time with Jesus. Being people who are aware of his constant presence in our lives, being aware of his Spirit and not letting distractions like our phones or the busyness of life stop us from being people who are with Jesus. And I just want to throw this question out there to you guys of just how's that been going since last week? You know, how's it been since last Wednesday with really being with Jesus? Trying to walk by the Spirit, trying to get intentional time with him each day. I think it's good to just to ask how that's been so far. Simply just being present to God in our lives. And if you haven't been able to focus on that yet or talk to someone close to you about that yet, definitely want to encourage you to start there with just talking with someone about how that's going for you. And to not, you know, let this second lesson overwhelm you if you haven't yet just started with, hey, let me just be with Jesus. And again, it's a journey that we're on together. Discipleship is a lifelong thing. But today, again, we're talking about becoming like Jesus, because the more time we spend with someone, especially Jesus, the more he should rub off on us. And the more we should become like him. You can be turning in your Bibles over to Luke chapter 6. We're going to look there in a second. But as disciples, our desire should be to become like Jesus, to one day be like our rabbi, to be like our Lord and teacher. And not just to know some nice facts about him, but to be like him. Amen. And so the main question we want to ask you tonight is this question of who are you becoming? Who are you becoming? And we're going to, you know, revisit this question a couple times tonight. But let's read here our first passage in Luke 6, verse 39. So this is Jesus talking here, and he says, he also told them this parable, can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Right. So, you know, Jesus, he's referencing the Pharisees here about talking about the blind leading the blind. And he's saying that, hey, there's some blind guides out there who don't know the truth and they're going to lead you astray. They will fall. But the whole point of discipleship is to be like our rabbi. Right? To not just blindly go through life or listen to just what other religious people say, but we want to follow Jesus. We want to be like him. And notice that it says here in verse 40, it says everyone who is fully trained, right? Notice that word trained there, right? That discipleship takes training. It takes time. There's stages to it. Like I said before, it's a lifelong commitment to train spiritually to become like Jesus and eventually do what Jesus did. And a lot of us have only been, you know, been disciples or have been following Jesus for a short amount of time. So all of us here on this call, we have so much room to grow. It's super exciting that for the rest of our lives, we get to go after this spiritual training. But what Jesus is saying here is that the goal one day is that we become like our teacher, that we're fully trained. And I think if we're being honest, we can easily fall into the trap of just kind of getting by spiritually as Christians. You know, we're at church on Sunday, midweek Wednesday, the Friday event. You know, maybe you're not falling into any like crazy serious sin. You know, maybe you've even hung out with disciples or had a hangout in the week. And so therefore you're doing well, right? We can start to think that way, but I wouldn't be so fast with that thinking that, okay, just because I'm showing up and I have friends that are Christians that I'm growing, I'm thriving, right? You know, being a Christian, it's not just about getting by or looking the part. No, it's about literally becoming like Christ, growing, becoming less like our sinful selves and more into the image of Jesus, not just even a better version of ourselves, but more like him. Discipleship isn't just about knowing about Jesus. It's about becoming like him, right? Modeling our lifestyle around his and really our entire lives around his lifestyle. Look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Paul's writing here and he says, to the Christian, he says, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." Right? So this scripture makes it clear here that we're being transformed, right? That God desires to make us more like his son. We're not just being transformed into any random thing, but God, Jesus himself, right? This Greek word here for transform is this word metamorpho. I mean, it's where we get the word metamorphosis, right? It's this idea of a profound change in form from one stage to the next, right? That God, through his Holy Spirit, he wants to transform us into the image of Christ. And I love how it says here, which comes from the Lord, right? Where does this transformation come from? Where does change come from? Change comes from the Lord. I think that's really important for us to take from the scripture and take to heart. That change comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from us or our thinking or the wisdom of the world. No, change can only come from God. Right? We can only become more like him if we go to him. And that God is offering us transformation, guys. He can transform us from our sinful selves into righteous and compassionate human beings. And so he wants to form us. He wants to transform us. But the question we want to ask you tonight is, do you really believe you can become like Jesus? Where is your faith at, if you're being honest? Do you really believe you can change, right? Maybe you've been a Christian for a couple of years. Maybe you're studying the Bible, but wherever you're at, do you believe you can change? Because if we don't believe that Jesus can change us, then we won't ever change. You know, do you believe that you can change that flaw in your character that you see? Do you believe that you can change and turn away from that chronic sin that's in your life that you keep going back to? Do you believe you can change from your laziness, your selfishness, your lack of compassion or empathy towards others? And do you believe that God can transform those weaknesses to be your strengths? You know, it has to start with us really believing that we can be transformed into the image of Christ, because the truth is that we can change, right? The Bible makes it so clear, and a lot of us have already experienced serious change in our lives, right? You know, another thing we have to be aware of, in addition to being aware of where our faith is at, is we have to be aware of other things outside of Christ that are forming us. Because guys, the reality is, whether we like it or not, is that we're all disciples of someone or something. We're all being formed into the image of the culture and the influencers we surround ourselves with. Something is forming us. The question isn't, are you being formed? The question is, who or what are you being formed into? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. Who are we being formed by? You know, Paul talks about this idea in Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read this and then Hannah's going to share here. But in this part of the lesson, we want to talk about what are we being formed by, right? Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, we all know the scripture. He says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve of what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will, right? So we don't want to conform to the world. We want to be transformed, but we do have to be aware of the ways that the world is forming us. And Hannah's going to come and share a little bit about that.
So I want to talk about three areas that, like Mark was talking about in this scripture, that can really be this thing that we are looking at or being formed by or conforming to. And the first one is the stories that the world tells us. So just thinking about social media in general, or hearing about people's lives, like we really do want to hear a story. We like storytelling, and the stories we believe give vision to the way we desire to live our lives. And so we can see many different narratives that our life could look like. And for me, my example of this is really my TikTok For You page. Like, I really do think it's amazing. I'm captivated by all of the different lives that people live here in New York City. I want to see how people become millionaires. They'll tell you online. It's awesome. And how people get their children to be so cute and funny and get them to dance. And I want to see everyone's get ready with me's, like their outfit inspirations. And this is just a small example of the way I can be influenced by people's stories. But even on a larger scale, I think just in the world in general, we can be drawn to stories of success, seeing like how people make money and do whatever it takes to get there. That's a story that we can be influenced by, or striving for the romantic lives that we see on movies, or just so many things like this that we see daily, especially living in a city like New York, because we can be influenced by so many different stories that even for me right now, like in my life, I think I'm overwhelmed by the amount of stories. I don't even know. I can't even pick which one I want to live by. It's like every day I just feel like I want to live out a different story that I'm seeing, and it messes with my mind. It overwhelms me. And I think it just flat out, like the longer, and I'm learning this about myself, the longer you live in New York City, the more you become like New York City. And I think just, you know, the fast paced life, all the different things that can happen. And so for each of us, I think we just need to be aware of what are the stories that we're letting influence us and change our minds. So number two is the habits that we give into. I think just being a psychology major, I learned a lot about the power of habits. And, you know, there are tons of books on this subject. People really do become just what is the culmination of their lot, like their weekly, daily habits. And there's this quote that says, the things we do, do something to us. And so like the things we do, do something to us. Like what you do is going to change who you are. And our habits get to the core of our being and really shape our desires. Like the longing of our hearts and desires in our life, those are going to shape really what we're going to do. And I was thinking about like this idea of like what you want to do, like you're going to do it, you know, like, I think I'm thinking specifically like what I love tends to be more powerful than what I know. Like I like know in my head that something is not good for me, but I love it. And it just, I'm more motivated to do that thing. Like I love to watch Netflix and play Candy Crush and be on TikTok and be on Instagram. But I know that in excess and without restraint, that stuff is really toxic to my mental health, to my relationship with God, to my relationship with people. I'm just not in the moment. I'm ignoring people. I'm doing things that I know are not good for me, but I love these things. And I'm like, they give me joy. And so I will find an excuse to just let those things be in my life. And currently, like right now in my life, I am going through a phase where I'm not on my favorite apps. And like, I've talked about TikTok so many times today because I just love it, but I haven't been on in like 48 hours or something like that. But I'm really trying to do what I know instead of what I love in these moments as I'm learning these things that I'm talking about. And so number three, I think something that we know is that our, like who we spend time with is like what we will become like. So we become like the people we spend time with. We think like our group of friends, our classmates that we're talking to. It's like, or for me, like just different coworkers or things that I have, it's like, no, you're right. Like, I agree with you. And my mind starts to be like thinking like them. And we're just all on the same page because we just get each other, or our family, the people that we're close to, like we can really become like those people without even knowing that it's happening. And so Mark's going to share a scripture on this.
Yeah. Thank you. This is really good stuff. And I'm sure that a lot of you can relate to some of those things and the things of the world that, whether we realize it or not, are forming us, right? We all know this scripture here, but it's definitely important and has to go with what we're talking about here. 1 Corinthians 15:33, Paul says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." And the opposite of that scripture is true as well, right? Good company can produce good character. And so again, we gotta check our hearts and make sure we care more about becoming like Jesus than anything else, right? We care more about that than fitting in with the world, than any sort of hobby or friendship. But we really have to ask ourselves, who am I being formed into and who's doing the forming, right? We got to care more about finding life in Christ than anything, right? Being formed by Christ than anything else. We got to care about that more than our career aspiration, our grades, our relationships, our hobbies, the future, right? The world makes us think that what we need is that job, or what we need is that new piece of clothing or technology, or what we need is that boyfriend or girlfriend, right? The world makes us think, hey, get all these things and then you'll be satisfied, and get all these things and let the world tell you what you need and let the world form you. But for us as Christians, our goal isn't to be like our friends or like the world, or even to be more like New York City, right? Or fit in here. No, our goal as Christians, our aim is to stand out, to be holy, right? Holy means to be set apart. And when we do that, when we care more about Christ forming us than any worldly influence, then the world can see Jesus through us, and we can be that example and show people a better way. And so here's the point. All of these things, the things that Hannah mentioned, all of these things work together to form you into the person you are. And each of those things are very powerful. And if we're not careful, they can become more powerful than the influence of the Holy Spirit and Jesus in our lives. You are becoming somebody, but who are you becoming? And so a lot of us, you know, we want to change, right? That's why we're here tonight. We want to be like Jesus. That's why we're on midweek tonight here on Zoom. right? A lot of us don't want to keep falling into the same sin. We genuinely want to change, but sometimes we just don't know how to change or how to become like Jesus. And so that's what we're going to talk about in the last part of the lesson here, is how to change. How do we change? Because obviously Jesus wants us to change. He wants us to transform. Let's talk about how we do that. And the first thing we have to realize is that change, it doesn't just come about from just knowing a lot of the Bible or just reading a lot. Yes, that's the starting point, but change comes about when not only do we read, but we live it out through practicing Jesus's teachings, right? Practicing the word. And then through that, our hearts can change. And through that, our habits can change through that process over time. And the question I want to ask you guys is, how do you want to see God transform you this semester, this year? What's the best case scenario for you spiritually this spring semester? How do you want to transform? All right, this is a question we need to ask ourselves. And we have to realize that just being human, even outside of Christianity, being human is about changing. It's about growing. To be a human is to grow. It's dynamic. It's not static, right? And change specifically for us as Christians, we call that repentance and sanctification, right? We see that clearly in Scripture, that God calls us to change and to repent. So what does this process look like? How do we change? What does the Bible make clear? Well, this is kind of what we see, right, from Romans 12, what we see in Acts chapter 2, from different scriptures on this process of change, is that first, we have to let the scriptures change our thinking, genuinely change the way we view ourselves, God, and our sin in the world, right? We have to read, we have to let the scriptures change our minds, right? And then from there, as God's changing our thinking, we have to go put it into action, right? So if I read a teaching where Jesus tells me that my life doesn't consist in an abundance of possessions, well, I have to go try that out. I have to ask myself, do I have things that I don't need? Are there things that I should be generous and get rid of? And as I live out that action, then he works on my heart. Then God can get in there. As we're obeying him, he changes our hearts. He changes our lifestyle. And really, he softens our heart, right? Knowing something is not the same as doing something. That's a really important thing to realize. Knowing something is not the same as doing it. I know I need to love my neighbor, but what's more powerful is doing it, making that part of my day, right? I know I need to go make disciples, but doing it is more powerful. Doing it is what Christ wants, right? And so the only way to truly be like Jesus is to let him change our minds, let him lead us into new actions. And through that, he can change our hearts. We gotta become like Jesus, and we have to walk the walk. We can't just talk the church lingo of Christianity and hope that we change. We have to put it into action. We can't think our way into Christ's likeness. You know, it's changing our lifestyles. It's changing how we spend our time, like we talked about last week. And the sad reality is that, you know, kind of the Western Christian world has handed down to us really a pretty shallow view of practicing Christianity, which really what we've been handed down is pretty much just go to Sunday service, listen to this 40-minute sermon, gather a lot of information, and then, you know, take communion, and then maybe read your Bible a couple times in the week. Like, that's church here in America. That's a lot of people's life. But that is not going to lead to transformation, right? It needs to be something we're going after. And I think sometimes we can feel like, man, like, do I have to do these Christian things? Like, do I have to go to that event? Do I have to read my Bible? Do I have to get on Zoom for midweek? You know, do I have to, Satan gets us into this mindset and this attitude of like, do I have to follow Jesus? When really a better mindset to have would be, no, I get to follow Jesus. I get to learn from him. I get to be a part of the church. I get to learn from the scriptures. I get to learn from the master himself, the creator of life, and I get to let him change me. I get to become like Jesus? What? A sinner like me? That should be our attitude, amen? You know, John 8, 31 to 32, Jesus says to the Jews who had believed him, he said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So when are we set free? Is it just when we know the teachings? No, it's when we abide by them. That's when we experience new life. That's when we experience transformation. You know, a quote that I heard recently, which kind of goes with the scriptures, without him, without Jesus, we can't. And without us, he won't. What does that mean? Without Jesus, we can't change. There's no way we're going to change, right? But also where God's coming from is, hey, if we don't do our part without us, he doesn't have an opportunity to do the changing, right? And so it's not just about knowing the teachings. It's about living them out and being set free. Change and transformation is a joint effort between you and God. God is always doing his job. God is always trying to get your attention. But are you doing your part to let him transform you? Are you working with God, allowing him to speak truth into your life through his word, through people, to lead you into deeper change? The way to think about this is kind of like, as we're following Jesus, we're practicing this counter formation. So as the world's trying to form us, we're pushing back at that. And we're saying, no, I'm going to let Jesus and the people in my life help form me in a deeper way. And so Hannah's going to come and share more about this idea of trusting in Jesus and letting him form us.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So, yeah, sorry. I'm thinking about just what I'm about to say, but I'm also just thinking about so many times. Okay. So anyway, Jesus knows the way the world actually works. Like, he is the creator of life. And a lot of Jesus's teachings are not even commands. So I think, like, when we read the Bible, it's almost like we, or at least for me, like, I just want, like, just tell me what to do sometimes, like, give me the answers. But it really isn't a command, but Jesus is just teaching and showing the way. And so he knows us, he knows what we need, just as humans, as individuals. And I really have been, like, so intrigued by how much Jesus knows. I think I just am, I love knowledge, I love learning new things. And I didn't grow up around Christianity. And so I felt like I always wanted, like, answers. Like, why do we live? Why do I have hair? Like, I don't know, just like random things. Like, I just want to know why. And, or yeah, I just want answers to things. And I think, like, slowly I started to see that how God really has answers to everything. There is actually answers to, like, about hair too. I didn't even think about that, but anyway. So, you know, as I started to learn these things as just a young Christian, but then also I would be in psychology classes and we'd be reading these studies that people would literally spend millions of dollars on. And so I'd be into it. I'm looking, I'm like, wow, this is, like, very intense study that they did. And then we'd get to the conclusion and it would just, there were one or two times where I was just like, wow, like, you spent millions of dollars to find out something that Jesus said in John chapter 7 or right. in John chapter 8. Yeah. It was just like, really? Like, just read the Bible. And so I think that, yeah, I see my psychology majors in the chat. But the question is, do we trust him enough to obey him, to trust in his word and to live out his teachings? I think this is a lot harder in the moments when our feelings are not necessarily in line with what we know to be true, or we say we know Jesus is the truth, but in the moment we feel like something else is the truth. And that is just a battle for us as people. And just for me, it's so hard to not just give in to my emotions in these times. So I think that something that we have to continue to remind ourselves and ask ourselves is this question: do we trust Jesus enough to obey him? And do we really trust that he has the answers to life, not just for you, not just for your family, but for everyone? Mm. Because if you don't believe that and live that out, then you're going to have a hard time helping other people to believe that.
Yeah, amen. So we're coming in for a landing here. But the last thing we want to hit on, and again, what we're talking about is becoming like Jesus. We're trying to tackle these things that can prevent us to become like him and things that can help us. But the last thing that we want to talk about is that in order to really become like Jesus, we need community, we need relationships, and that change, transformation, it happens in community. And there's two things that really happen when we're involved in each other's lives, right? And the two things that happen or community provides is exposure and encouragement, right? You know, when we have people that really know us and that we're sharing our lives with, and in discipling relationships, it will lead to some of our character being exposed. Sometimes good things will be brought out, sometimes bad things will be brought out, right? It's kind of like a squeezing of a sponge, right? When we're really close to people, the truth comes out, our true colors come out. When we're not close to people, we can't see our blind spots. We can't see the areas where Jesus is trying to change us, right? You know, a great example of this is marriage. Marriage brings exposure to our lives. You know, even little things like for Hannah and I, like I've realized that I'm terrible at filling back up our Brita, our water filter. And that's something that I have grown to realize more living with Hannah 24/7, right? Little things like that. And there's other examples that, you know, like even a little thing like, you know, when I'm brushing my teeth, it's so weird. We were talking about brushing my teeth earlier on the Zoom call too. But anyways, I tap my toothbrush to like, you know, get the water off or whatever. And Hannah, just the first couple of times, she was like, what are you doing? And I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, and now I'm just so conscious of it, right? But when we're with people, when we're doing life with people, we realize these things about ourselves. We get exposed and Jesus works through that. But the other thing we desperately need that can only come from relationships is encouragement, right? We need daily encouragement from each other, from this ministry, from these relationships, right? Hebrews 3, verse 13 says, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness, right? Guys, the world is deceitful, right? It's full of deceit and sin. That's what it is. It deceives us. But when we speak truth into each other, when we bring courage to one another, we help each other grow. And so I really want to encourage us to be encouragers, to go after lifting each other up, pointing out things that are great in our life and in someone's life, pointing out also things that you feel like you need to express with someone. If you notice something that's harming them or a lack of conviction in an area of their walk with God, being an encourager is saying, hey, let's talk about that. I want to encourage you with something better or to turn away from that sin. So we need encouragement. We need each other if we really want to transform. I know I would not be the man I am today if it wasn't for the men that God put in my life that have helped me see myself, that have called me, that have had vision for me. I need Jesus and I need the relationships that he brings. And so to close out, just want to return to this kind of starting idea of, in this question of, hey, can I really change? Can I really actually become like Jesus? And the answer again is you can change. And God wants that, you know, if there's a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being like, man, I'm really having trouble believing I can change, and 10 being 100%. Where are you right now on that scale of really believing, you know, I can change? There's not anything that Jesus isn't able to change in my life. You know, Ephesians chapter 4, 23 and 24 says, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness, right? So the Bible's making it clear, guys, that yes, we can change. In fact, we were created as human beings to be like God, to be like Jesus. So why would God create us to be something that we could never become? No, he created us to be something that he knew we always could become. He knew we needed Jesus. We needed the gospel to transform. And that's his vision for you. Sinners like us, again, to come to be like Christ. You know, hopefully this lesson has been encouraging for you. Hopefully it's been convicting. You know, that's something we can say a lot after lessons is, man, I'm feeling convicted. You know, man, that was spicy. That was good. I'm feeling convicted. But we have to really let that feeling of being convicted go to a conviction, right? That's great when we say, you know, in fellowship on Sundays or midweek, like, wow, it's a convicting lesson. But what about the next day? What about that week? Are you going to let God form in you a conviction based off the Bible? What is a conviction? It's this unwavering belief you have, a decision you've made. And so let's really go after that. And again, this is just a principle for any lesson we hear. We need to think about what convictions is God trying to form in me? And again, just circling back to this question of who are you becoming? You know, if you were to plot the trajectory of your character arc, like out 10, 20 years from now, based off the way you're living right now, who are you going to be in 10, 20 years? That might be a sobering thought for some of us, but who do you see on the horizon? And is it Jesus? Is it more like him? Do you see Jesus expressed through who you are and specifically who he made you to be? Or do you see somebody else or someone else? You know, we want to encourage you guys this week in your D groups to reflect on this question together of who are you becoming, right? And for personally, for yourself, you know, go on a prayer walk, talk to God about this, meditate on the scriptures, bring this question before God and his word. And let's really go after being Christians, being disciples, that our goal is to be like Jesus, not just a better version of ourselves, not being formed by the world, but becoming like Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, that's what we have for you guys tonight. Hope you guys, again, were encouraged and inspired. And yeah, this was awesome. I'm going to pass it over to Rob here.